Should we go on to another one?
Yeah. Let's do Man Push Cart, because more people have seen that one.
Right.
Okay, so present are...
Terry.
Rick.
Sandy.
Richard.
Jane.
Ellen.
Bree will be in that position.
Ready.
Drop out for a minute. And Nancy. So
I didn't see it.
You didn't,
of course, but most everybody did.
A lot of people did. Five at least, I think. Okay. And so we, Terry and I saw it like a year ago.
Oh, my God.
We saw it at Sundance last year and then went out to dinner with the filmmaker.
Oh,
not on purpose. It's just we ended up at the same place and we sat at a communal table with him and a group of people. Yeah, you know, right. His entourage. So that was very
right
fun.
Right after the screening.
Yeah.
Fairly soon after.
And
yeah,
the
right
actor
after.
That was the lead.
The Pakistani pop star guy. Yeah. He was there.
We had a great dinner. I hope you liked it.
I did love it. I mean, I love New York City. So any movie about New York City, I love. And I love cross-cultural. So a movie about cross-cultural things happening in New York City, what could be finer? Right?
Yeah, we didn't know it would be finer if we just sit with the director after the film.
That's right. Okay. That's right. The director. In Sundance. At Sundance.
Yeah. At a...
Indian place.
Indian
vegetarian place.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Downtown.
Was it
Park
good
City?
Food? Oh, yeah, you said it was good food.
Good food. It was fine.
It was okay. It was
you know, a little...
Pleasant. Food wasn't the thing.
Food was not the thing.
Well, I like this movie also. I liked it a lot. I know Sandy, I think, didn't like it. But,
You did like it.
But I liked it a lot, and it's interesting that I liked it a lot for similar reasons to what Mark talks about the film in the review which he provided for me to share with you.
Please read.
Which we know, I'll get to in a second, but he, okay, I'll read the paragraph which is very positive from Mark about this movie. One aspect of it that I did appreciate was the way that the relationships between the different characters are portrayed. I'm very interested in films that explore the way people interact and treat other people. It's why I like the movie Crash so much. In my opinion, Man Push Cart had some of the most realistic interpersonal relationships I've ever seen. The way the well-off Pakistani and the pushcart man treated the pushcart man at first, and then how the relationship lost its bloom and then eventually soured. Even the momentary stranger to stranger or employee to customer relationships that were presented were exceptional in their genuineness, i.e. the interaction with customers at the stand, the interaction between the pushcart man and the Pakistani nightclub owner. In comparison, the relationships and interactions in Crash and many other films seem exaggerated, contrived, and somewhat stereotypical. And I would emphasize that. I think.
End of quotation. Now Richard says.
Now I'm speaking. Oh. I was speaking before too. But I would say it's those relationships and more, and how they change during the film, such as even the relationship I thought was marvelously portrayed that the Pakistani had with the cart itself,
mm-hmm.
and how that changed over time, and how during the film the cart was so dear to him, how he tenderly would wash it and care for it. And then as the film went on, because of other things that were happening, that relationship began to sour and change, akin to the relationship that Mark makes a reference to. And you saw it in that he would begin to have difficulty pushing the cart or pulling the cart. He actually pulled the cart more than pushed the cart. And would stumble and then fell on one occasion. And then eventually the relationship was such that he didn't pay close enough attention to the cart and it was stolen. And then of course when he had the opportunity to spend some time in this other cart, immediately that connection with the cart came rushing back, and he very tenderly, washed it and took care of it and all. So this movie was about relationships. And I think that was really wonderfully done. I'll stop. For now.
There was a lot of other things too. I mean, he had this, like, struggle to just to get by and to try and get ahead. And, he's getting there slowly, but he's been very successful. He goes to New York and he's this gritty slice of life, and you know, of this car that, you know, you see all the time in New York. I lived in New York for 14 years. I never thought about the guys with the car. But you see these silver cars. Mm-hmm. And these cups, you know, the cups that they have. I was in New York recently, and they're selling a ceramic version of it at the Museum of Modern Art.
They also have a
cup. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the crushed version that's soft and it's a coin purse?
No,
like that cup.
No,
it's also a museum on the
You know, and you never think about it. You know, and so you know, he's here. He's just trying to get ahead. And slowly, he's working on his getting his life back together, and the car is stolen. You know, which, by the way, I thought the implication was it's stolen by the guy who sold it to him. That.
Say what?
I thought it was stolen by the guy who sold it to him. And I'm wondering if I thought it was implied.
Well. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it for a long time, so that may be. It was clear to me that I knew at the time who stole the cart, but I can't remember now. So maybe you're right.
I think so. There's some mention of the insurance. The guy who sells it didn't insure it right away.
Yes.
Insure it right away.
Yes.
But he didn't have money to insure it. So later he said, "You insured? Did you insure it?" Tough.
Yes.
Tough.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm. So here is a response to Mark's comment about how genuine the relationships between the guy running the cart and the customers are. This was actually shot on the streets in New York, and most of the camera work was done from across the street, as you can tell. These were all long shots, and they had, like, you know, production assistants running after people who had bought coffee and bagels, saying, "Will you please sign a release?"
Wow.
Because those, they didn't plan ahead. Those were customer relationships.
Long shots meaning that
they didn't know they were being photographed.
But they were, aren't some of those from the inside?
Yeah.
They were shot.
They're inside. The camera's inside.
Some of those shots were a big.
Camera?
It was candid camera. It was a big lens shooting through the opening of the cart from behind the guy.
And this guy, the director, is Iranian.
Is he
American? Is he like?
He's American.
Yeah,
he grew up in Westchester.
That's what I'm wondering.
Or North Carolina.
North Carolina.
His parents are academics, maybe.
Or
maybe they're high tech for Triangle Park.
He's not like fresh off the boat, but he's
not at all. He went to Harvard.
Richard represented in Ratu's comments from his about his feeling of his own movie. Can you tell us what this director said about his own movie? Did you get into that?
A little bit.
Talking about what he was eating.
No, we were talking about the film.
We talked about the film and about shooting it and
financing and all that.
It was
a gritty thing. I mean, he sort of got involved with.
He ended up sleeping on the floor at the guy that started, the Pakistani guy.
Yeah.
Slept on his floor while they were, because he didn't have the lodging in New York, you know. Mm-hmm. And
so he really felt the part.
It was pretty amazing.
And he said, you know, this guy doesn't really push a cart, but he is an immigrant and he is a pop star, but, you know, he would have some other job. But, you know, the pushing of the pulling of the cart or the moving the cart around the city, I mean, it was hard work, and they didn't set up things with the traffic department or whatever. They got a thing to shoot, you know, some kind of permit to shoot, but not necessarily for all those places and so on. And they were a little bit
on the edge. I didn't see the movie, but I'm interested to know, is it a powerful ending, or is the ending focused, I assume, on the man who was pushing the car?
A powerful ending, I wouldn't say. It was a powerful ending.
No, it's all about the guy. It's about, you know,
he's just going
and his life, and the majority of his life just sucks.
And he's,
you know,
and he's starting again. After he'd gone a certain distance,
he came to his relationship. You know, the mother of the child.
Yeah.
Something happened to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She died,
and the family.
The family was keeping
the son away from him.
Yeah. He's a ne'er-do-well. Yeah. He's a pop star, and they're not our people, and all like that. So, Sandy, you haven't said how you hated the film.
No. If I had been with the director, found myself at the same table with the director, I would have had to have moved. I just hated the pace, and in in some ways I think I'm so American. And then as you all were talking, I was realizing that when I first taught an Iranian cinema class, that I would fall asleep in every film I was looking at.
How could you be teaching
it? No, I wasn't. I was preparing for it.
What happened to teaching if you don't like this stuff?
I had to watch them several times. But no, I did like the stuff. When I first saw it, then I saw a reason for Kiarostami's pace, and I saw that he is an existentialist, and it was new. And when Iranian films first started coming to this country, you know, we luxuriated in the pace. It was so different from American films, and this just seemed so empty. I just didn't have any patience for it. I got the Sisyphus image right away, and I wanted to move on. I was a little bit surprised at how nice all the people were and I remembered New York and how I lived in New York for 5 years and how they get a bad rap for being so unfriendly, but it wasn't a particularly deep relationship. It was just pleasant in the morning, and then I kept waiting for something to happen. Even in a Kiarostami film like where the guy is driving around in his car looking for somebody to kill him so that he could commit suicide, and there's a climax, and in this there wasn't.
Well, there is, because the guy gets the car stolen. The car is stolen.
It's like life sucks so bad.
I just thought it was trying so hard to be a slice of life that I just didn't buy it.
I haven't seen a lot of Iranian films, but a few I have seen, you know, like saw this film Kandahar a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
The Iranian director.
Well, that's much more dynamic.
Yeah, well, it's also beautiful.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
You know, it's just
gorgeous.
To
walk across the desert?
Yes.
And, well, it's one of the ones we didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just beautifully shot. And I saw another film, the same cinematographer, which I only knew because I just thought, oh my God, is this the same? You know, and I looked it up, and it was, you know, it was just gorgeous, beautifully shot. And I did wonder, and I think there was a reason to be, it looked very gritty, like his life, but, you know, the camera, I'm sure it was shot on video, and it was cheaper and all this, but it also sort of worked because it was a gritty
but
life,
you know,
he had.
There's an
environment.
Well, right. I mean, and it's real for real. You know,
but I did wonder if he had the money to shoot at 35, and you know, he had a wonderful cinematographer, what it would have been like, you know. And I think the grittiness could have been just fine, looking beautiful, but getting across the grittiness, and
it wasn't. I didn't want it to look beautiful necessarily. I just wanted it to move a little faster.
So what else does Mark say?
Mark does have some additional words, which is not about that. But this might be a good point to make a reference to the fact that indeed, that in this film, more so I felt than, as I mentioned, than Babel, there were, everything was close up, and it was just so close, and that was troublesome, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the paragraph, Mark wrote three paragraphs about this film. I read you the middle paragraph. The first paragraph is a single line, and it reads in this way. I didn't like this film and would not recommend it to most people.
But he said the relationships are
right.
Honest.
But he said then
he has a beautiful paragraph about
very, you know, a very appealing kind of verb. But his final paragraph is this, not that, and it, the first sentence sort of follows from the last, so it might not make total sense to you immediately, but not that having realistic slice of life films is a good thing. Real life can be depressing and boring, as is a film that does not have much of a plot, which is the reason why I did not like this film. How did the pushcart man's wife die? and why did her parents blame him? I don't care because I didn't care that much about him because I didn't get to know him well enough through his actions or words to care. This was why he ultimately didn't like that.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think that that's a really nice piece of writing that Mark did. And
it represents your views also.
Well, yeah, it does. And I mean, I just thought that it was kind of pretentious and in a first film kind of way. Where he made up for having something to say with slowness.
It's apparently not his first film. Do you know anything about it?
I don't know anything about the earlier film. We weren't talking about that then. We're talking about talk about the film, talk about how much of this is your life or not your life to the guy. It's not his life, but
No, he went to Harvard.
No, the filmmaker went to Harvard, but the pushcart man,
right.
The man who played the pushcart man, it wasn't his life either.
And he's a fresh actor. He's
right, he hadn't done any acting before the Pakistani guy, the Pakistani pop star, but he was indeed a musician, right?
Right, but he worked, his family...
What did they do? They had
a restaurant
in Brooklyn or something.
Yeah, he was
there with Dinner at 52.
Then there were several other people who were part of the crew.
Well, for that reason alone, I think I'm going to rent it on Netflix when it comes out in about 6 months. And on that note, I'm out of here.
All right.
I didn't see it. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Bye. Good night.
Take care. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Yep. Is there more to talk about this film?
I have just one comment.
Please.
That I remember when we saw the movie. The fact that the guy got up at like 2 a.m. and had to go do it and get loaded and get this guy, and he's on the street at 6 or 5 or something, this guy, and I just remember for me, I've had some jobs and I have nothing. I have nothing to compare with having to be up at 2 in the morning and drag the cart, do the thing, and still try to stay upbeat about life and that kind of thing. And it was for me, it was just a slice of life because we all get very caught up in what we're doing. And we all have complaints about what we're doing, whether you own the company or whether you're the lowest guy on the totem pole. And it just is for me, that was it gave us a real slice as far as, and regardless of how rough it is, you got to keep punching. You got to keep going. And this poor guy, it was like he couldn't, he couldn't get up for, life wasn't going to let him get up,
And I agree with you, and indeed I thought that slice was communicated very wonderfully, and yes, there may not have been much of a plot. Yes, we didn't understand this, we didn't understand that, but it was just this chunk of time, and about what was going on there, and I thought that was actually wonderfully done.
Yeah, it didn't bother me that I didn't know how his wife died, and his parents, her parents blamed it.
Right, and
it might have been reasonable. It might have been unreasonable.
And I agree, there wasn't a lot of plot there. It wasn't a big movie, but I thought it was nicely done
it
for what it was.
It wasn't a big movie. That's right. But
several things are said about this character, though. His relationship with the Spanish girl, for example, where he likes her, but she's going with the other guys, with the rich guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then his relationship with the kitty, his thing with the kitty.
Yeah.
And it shows some aspects of his.
Yeah.
His
relationships.
Right.
And he was like living in a closet or something.
We don't know where he was living. Do we?
It was somewhere in outer boroughs, Queens or Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But didn't he have to come in through, kind of come to the back way up and go through a window?
Yeah,
and
something like that.
Kind of, he was sleeping like in a closet space, not a real.
Mm. You don't see that clearly.
Well, happy I saw.
Yeah, good. Okay. Enough on man push cart.
All right, stop it.